This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Good to have you here in the room and good to have you online. Today, as we get started, I want to do something. If you're at home, I ask you to type something in. And in the room, I ask you to say it to each other. We just sang a song, and I love the lyrics of it. And basically, it said, "It is a glorious day." So this is what I want you to do. If you're at home, I want you to type that in. If you're here in the room, I want you to say to the people around you, "It's a glorious day." Can you do that? It's a glorious day. Amen. Amen. In the room, outside, it's a glorious day. It's just great to be here. It is a great day. This is our celebration of our Rooted series. It's hard for me to believe, but a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I was at a church meeting with a group of pastors. We were at a church, and I was talking to someone there, and they said, "Let me tell you what God's doing at our church through a program called Rooted." And it's really not the program, it's what God was doing. And just told me some ideas, and I kind of put that in my heart and my spirit, and I prayed about it, and we kind of did some investigation and checked on it this spring. We went through some training in the spring, and then we kind of introduced it this fall, and it's been fun to see and exciting to see what God has been doing. And it's been a journey, hasn't it? It's hard to believe. It's been a 10-week journey, and in that 10-week journey, we have worshiped together each week, and we've kind of worked through Rooted and talked about what God wants us to know through it. We had our small groups, and that's been fun, and it's really been a fun experience for me. We have people in our small groups from Virginia. We have people in our small groups from California, people in Arizona. God has opened the nation to what he is doing, and it's been fun to see. We've seen groups do service projects, and that's been an exciting thing. And they've done different things around the church and in the community. We had a prayer experience, and I've thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope you, if you didn't get a chance to do it this time, I know we'll do it again, and just praying together and just being one with God in prayer here around the facility. We saw strongholds broken during this time as people gave things over to the Lord, as they lifted up things that they were dealing with. We have seen the Multiply projects, and that's been a lot of fun. We're going to look at that in just a minute. And people have taken steps of faith, and they've kind of stepped out and said, "God, use me, work in my life." And there's a verse that kind of summarizes, I think, everything that we've been doing. It's Galatians 5:25, and this is what it reads, or how it reads. It says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." In other words, living and walking are the same thing. It's a journey that we're on every step of the way. We're just going with the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit to teach us so many things and to experience so many things as he has worked inside of us to change us, but also change our church and change our community. And it's been exciting to see. I've heard so many stories, and you probably have heard some great stories too about what God has done. And I want to just kind of share one. I thought this kind of just kind of encapsulated so much of what we've seen. Jenny Cox is a member here at Bridges, and for her project, her service project, she had some jewelry that she thought she would sell and see what God would do with that. So some of it she could send out, and she sent it on the through a place, and they sent her money back, but they didn't want some of the things she had. She had some silver-plated stuff, and so she loaded it up in her car, and she went down to one of our local jewelers, and she walked in, and a guy looked at it and goes, "This is all silver-plated. Best just to take that to Goodwill." And she said, "Well, let me tell you what we're doing with it. All the money is going to go into our ministry center to help the people in our community." And he says, "Well, let me look at it a little bit more." And he found one thing in there that was sterling silver. And he wrote her a check for that to add into the money she had. But that's not the end of the story. Later on, she took the same stuff, and she went with Sherry from our church, and they went to the consignment furniture store and took it down there. They said, "Well, take it to the back." And there she was met by a young man named Will. And Will looked at the stuff. He said, "Well, this is all silver-plated. It's not really valuable. It's hard to get rid of this stuff, but it's best to take it to Goodwill." But she said, "Let me tell you what we're doing with this. They're like, God used this and for this program." He looked at it and says, "Well, I'll give you $10 for that, and then we'll give you $100 donations." We thought that was pretty cool. But that's not the end of the story. So he said, "Well, go to the front counter," and his girlfriend Kaylee was there, and "go talk to her, and she'll write the check and all that." Well, when they start talking to Kaylee, Kaylee began to explain that as a 19-year-old, she'd been doing a ministry for 2 years called Bags and Bibles. And what she does is she loads up bags with things that the homeless would need, people that are downtown that are struggling, with a Bible, and she takes it out on her own, walking with the Spirit, step by step, and just giving them away. Well, they shared what God was doing in all their lives. I think they started a little bit crying because God was so good. And she says, "Hang on a minute." And she went and she had brought out a letter that she had gotten from another church. And they had given her a $50 bill, and they said, use it as you see fit. And she said, I think God's telling me to give that to you. So that was a cool experience, but that's not the end of the story, too, because later on, Jenny and Sherry wanted to do something for the consignment furniture place. They said, let's go get duck donuts. If you haven't had a duck donut, that's a really reason to celebrate as well. So they got duck donuts. They took it to the consignment store to say thank you, and they said, can we meet the owner named Linda? And she was in, so she came out, and they began just talking about what God was doing in their lives, how God had blessed the store and how God was blessing their lives. So Linda talked to her a little bit, and she said, look, this is what I want to do. Every now and then, what our store does is we send out an email. We highlight a ministry here in our community, and we're going to highlight Bridging the Gap, and we're going to send it out to our 17,000 email list and let everybody know that if they'll bring in some food, we'll give them 10% off. So they talked about it and said, what can we bring? And they said, well, how about cereal? We'll bring cereal. That sounds good. So they put it out to their 17,000 people list. They called Jenny, and Jenny and her husband John went and loaded up their car full of cereal. But that's not the end of the story, because then they said, come back, we have more. They had over 172 boxes of cereal donated from our community for our food pantry. But that's not the end of the story, because they brought it back here. And on this Friday, we just had our distribution, and it was a big, big day at our food pantry this time. It was over 150 families came, which is over 450 people in our community. And they gave out food, and they gave out food, and they gave out food. Until the end of the day, they ran out of people and food at the same time. It was just a cool, cool thing as God had prepared. And we had to have that cereal. We had to have all that food because God wanted to take care of the people in the community. And that's not the end of the story. Because during that day, we had our clothes closet, and they brought in over $400, one of the biggest days they've ever had, and just kept it open all day long. And that's not the end of the story, because what also happened is one of our small groups, in partnership with the second one, decided to do a project. And their project was to get brand new toys that they would sell at a small price to allow the parents to say, we bought this for our children, and they put it out on Friday. And over $800 came in, I think at $2 a present. That's a lot of presents. So a lot of these families in our area are going to have Christmas for their kids. They have refrigerators and freezers and cupboards full of food. They have clothes to wear, all because God was at work. And I don't think that's the end of the story either. Here's what really spoke to me is the dozens, and I mean dozens of volunteers that made all that happen at every step. People had stepped out in faith. They said, we want to help. Our lives belong to Jesus, and we want to help in his name to impact this community. And that's the real thing I think we're looking at, hearts. Hearts that are giving to Jesus said, we are your hands and feet. We are the church. We're your body, and we're going to serve you. And I think that's the real story behind all of it. At every step, people walking with the Spirit. Here at Bridges, we have kind of a pathway we ask people to take to kind of know where you are on your journey with Jesus. It's a four-step process. The first one is simply exploring Jesus. It's taking a step, getting to know him, explore who he is, see if he's someone that you want to know, that you want to give your life to. So taking baby steps and exploring Christ. After you make that decision, the second step is growing in Christ. Begin to walk with him a little bit. You begin to develop to be more like him. Your thoughts begin to change. Your heart begins to change. And as you walk with Jesus, you're growing with him. You're digging down roots into him. And your life is being transformed and changed. And that leads to being close to Christ. Close to Christ is when your heart beats the same way as Jesus's does. Your life reflects his life. And you're moving in this journey where you're walking with him through life every single day. And that leads to the fourth kind of step in this process, and it's this. It's where you are Christ-centered. And everything in your life revolves around Jesus. And I think that's what Rooted really has been about for me. It's about everything revolving around Jesus. Jesus isn't just taking a back seat in your life. He's first and foremost. That you bring glory to his name by the way you speak, the way you think, the way you talk. You find freedom in Christ. And everything that you have, you realize is from Christ. And all the things he gives you, and it's just all centered on Christ, and that's the journey that we're taking. Sometimes we need something to get us moving though, right? And I think that's what Rooted's been about igniting some passion in our life, igniting some change in our life. Last week, if you noticed on the news, you saw where the SpaceX capsule went off, right? It was kind of a fun thing to do. We sent four astronauts into space, and I was reading about that. They said for 8.5 minutes, it was a crazy ride because they were breaking the boundaries of gravity. And when they got to space, they have a celebration. Everyone has a celebration when they get up there because now they're free. And gravity's no longer pulling them down. And I think in some ways Rooted is like that for me. It kind of gave us a spark to move us a little deeper, a little bit further into our walk with Christ. And because of that, we're here to celebrate. And we're here to recognize what God has done. Psalm 145 is a great psalm for celebration. I'm going to read it, but I hope that this is your prayer. I hope that as Luke just prayed for us, that this is our prayer, that it's Jesus we're lifting up. It's that God is doing in our life. It's not what we've done. It's not what about Bridges Church. It's really about what God's done. And as I read this psalm, let it speak to your heart and let it be something your heart says to God. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7, New Living Translation. I will exalt you, which means to lift you up, my God and my King. King means he's in charge. And praise your name forever and ever, starting today and for eternity. I will praise you every day. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. Is that your heart today? Great is the Lord above every problem that you have, over everything we're facing right now. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. He's too big. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate. I will think about it. I will kind of ruminate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to let that settle in my heart. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. And then verse 7. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. It's about a story, right? We are part of God's story, and we want to tell his story to the world. We want the world to know how good is our God. Talk about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not bad news, it's good news. We have a Savior, we have a God, we have a King, and we want everyone to know his story. We're going to watch a video in just a moment, and it's a bunch of pictures, right? And they say a picture says 1,000 words. And the things that we can't say, you're going to see some pictures of what God's been doing, some faces of people, some projects, some small groups. And as you watch that video, I want you to just kind of hone in on the story of what God has done in our lives and the story of what God continues to do. It's going to start with something I just want to introduce. It's our Building to Serve campaign. It just happened to end during this time, during this 10-week experience. That was our campaign where we really didn't know what we were doing, just raising money for a facility one day. We had no idea that today we'd be standing in this facility that God has provided. So we're going to introduce that first, and you're going to see some video about the different things that happen in Rooted. Let's watch this video.
Patrick has asked us to talk about the Phase 2 Building to Serve campaign. We serve as co-directors. When we started Phase 2, we had already purchased the property on Murray Road. We had a lot of different kind of events for the church and the community and used it as much as we could, and everyone was really excited that we had found a place we thought would be our home. But later, we came across the property on Rinalda Road, and it was already a church building, and it was just about the size that we were looking to build, and it was on Rinalda Road, which is where we started, and it's the exact area where we wanted to be.
We started a pledge campaign at the beginning of this, and the community pledged $147,000. And to date, we've actually received $185,000. So that's amazing that we've gone above and beyond our pledges, and money's still coming in so that number could rise, which is fantastic.
We also would like to address those who have made pledges but may not have finished fulfilling the pledge. You can still contribute to the campaign for as long as you need to fulfill your pledge. And for anyone who wants to continue, even though the campaign has ended, you certainly can do that. and it will just go to the purpose of paying down the mortgage. Not sure if we will have another campaign for that later, but if there is a need, we will do that later in a year maybe. We also like to thank everyone involved. We had many committees. I'd like to thank the leaders of all of those committees and all the members of the committees for the meetings that we had to have and all the plans we had to make. And we got the job done, and we had so much support. Thank the people who prayed and for all those who gave and made pledges, and just the sacrifice you made is, we could never have done it without all of that. So thank you.
We'll be right back. Come in the water.
You know, it's a much warmer day today.
Yeah.
Face that way.
Silly.
Do you recognize that you were born in sin, and in that sinful nature you would die and be separated from God if it were not for the saving work of Jesus' life, his sacrifice, his suffering, his death and resurrection?
Yes, I do.
Is it your desire to turn away from that old life and take on this new life in Christ?
Yes, it is.
Based on that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yay!
Let's all stand and sing that there's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's no mountain he can't move. There's no dark night that he can't light up. So with all that in mind, all the things that God has done and the projects and all the stories that are there, let's all worship him.
Calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open. My heart can
sing like you believe it.
There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can move. No, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
That's right.
Just one word, you hear what's broken inside. Just one word, and you revive every dream. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't. There's not a mountain that he can move. And I'll praise the name that makes the way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison wall he can't break through. And I'll praise the name that makes the way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
Sing that we believe for greater things.
I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. And I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. And I will believe for greater things. There's no power like power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like his power. nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Then I'll praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison wall He can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
This whole rooted thing has been about. It's about growing deeper in our faith so that Christ could be magnified through us. It's not about us, it's all about Him. So let's sing that out.
We're creation, suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues lift one cry. From south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing His eminence, His name would burst from sea and sky. From a to the mountaintops, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Sing it out, oh Christ be magnified.
Oh Christ be magnified, just let His praise arise. Oh Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Oh, Christ be magnified in me.
When every creature,
finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry. Oh, then in one interaction, in a phrase, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, just let His praise arise. Oh, Christ be magnified. Stand strong and worship You, and if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause You're there too. I won't be formed by fears, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with You, cause death is just the doorway to to resurrection life. And if I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, just let his praise arise. Oh, Christ be magnified.
Seated. It's a little bit tough to kind of wrap up this series. I've enjoyed it so much, and like any season, it comes to an end. In some ways, it doesn't have to end, but this particular journey, this 10-week journey, is wrapping up. And 11 weeks ago now, we started with a verse, Colossians 2:7. It's our theme verse for this whole series, and I just want to go back to it one more time. It says this: let your roots grow down into him, meaning Jesus. Let your spiritual roots grow into him, deep into him, so that he is affecting every part of your life. It's where you get your spiritual nourishment. It's where you get your strength. It's where you get your closeness with him. Dig your roots deep into him. And let your lives be built on him, not on other things, not on the things of the world, not of our dreams, not of the finances that we have, not our gifts, talents, abilities, nothing of those sorts. Just let your life be built on Jesus. He's the only thing that will last. He's the only one that gets us through. And then it says, then if you do that, your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And I love this last part. You will overflow with thankfulness. This is Thanksgiving week, right? And I think in Thanksgiving week, it's a perfect time to stop and say, God, I want to overflow with thankfulness. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a naturally thankful person. I'm a person who, what's the next thing? Where do we go next? What's the next step? What do I got to take care of? And I hardly ever stop and be thankful. So one of the things I'm asking God to do through this rooted experience and continue on this journey is that he just makes me more and more thankful. He just fills my heart with that. Because I think in the world we can do this. We can all see the same thing, but we can see it in different ways, right? You can see the same thing, and sometimes we look at it and go, well, I'm really thankful for that. Other times we look at it and go, God, I don't even think about you, or I maybe complain that it's not as good as I want it to be, or I'm a little bit critical. And so in our spirit, we can see the same thing from two different perspectives. Are we thankful for whatever we have? A few years ago, when we were at North Forsyth, and I remember being at this school, and it was cold in the winter, and it was hot in the summer, and I remember just kind of struggling there, but I noticed that the longer we were there, the darker the place seemed to get, and I'd get up on the stage to talk, and I would look at my notes and go, I can't see my notes, it's getting darker and darker. Well, it wasn't getting darker and darker, my eyes were getting to the point where I needed glasses, but I didn't realize it. And so I got up there one time, and I couldn't see it, and I had to memorize the whole thing. I go, this is not good. And I went to the eye doctor, and I went from 20/20 to about 20/40, 20/60 in a matter of weeks, and I couldn't see. And I don't go anywhere without my glasses now. When I go to bed, they're right there by my bed. And when I wake up, I put them on. And when I read, I have to wear them, almost anything. But it's changed me. It's changed the way I see things. And I hope for us that Rooted has helped change the way we see things. And I hope that we're full of thanksgiving because of all that God has done for us. One of the tough things about COVID is we're not all in the same room. And as thankful as I am to have it online, it's just not the same as being in the same room together. It really isn't, because I'd love to stop and just thank God for some of you. So I'll do it in the only way that we can, is just by verbally thanking people. I do want to thank all of our leaders, your ministry team leaders, and all your volunteers and how you make this work every single week. We need to point you out and say thank you. And so if you're part of that, we just want to give you thanks and thank God for you. I want to stop and make sure that our Bridging the Gap leaders, our board, all our volunteers, our leaders, the one that feed people every single month and they go out of their way to make people have food and have whatever they need. I want to thank them and thank God for them. We don't thank our band and tech team enough. I don't know if you know what goes on behind the scenes, but to make this online thing work, to make it work in the room, there are so many hours that are poured into them, and I want to make sure that we know we are thankful for them and what God is doing to their life. This season, we did multiply projects, and you got to see some of the pictures, and you didn't see all of them. You got to see only some of them, and it was really cool. We gave about $4,600 in this project. We distributed $100 per family, and we just got the totals in, and it's about, I think the number, do we have it? There it is, $10,733.69 without the $4,600. So let's give God praise for that. That is so cool. So that means you took that $4,600 and you multiplied it, not just 2.0. We call this multiply 2.0, but it's 2.33. So you went above and beyond. God just did some amazing stuff. So that was so cool just to see. And all that money goes to the ministry center, and all that money will be used to show God's love to the people. And I want to do a special shout out to the people who are small group leaders. They did an amazing job just pouring into people's lives, getting used to a new kind of curriculum. Some of our groups were hybrid. Mine was completely online, a whole different world. And you guys made it happen. Our small group leaders are just my heroes, and I appreciate for what you've done in your life. Today, I want to just talk just briefly about thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for. I want to ask you some questions. Just kind of just think about this. Has Jesus saved you? Do you have Jesus? Has he forgiven you? Do you walk through life knowing that you don't have to face eternity separated from God? If you have Jesus in your life like that, you have a reason to be overflowing with thankfulness, because Jesus saved you. And your whole life has been changed and transformed if you know Christ. And your sins are forgiven, and you have a hope. And you have a future. Has God ever answered a prayer request of yours? That's a miracle. You know what a miracle is? Anytime God works in our world, if he's ever answered a single request of yours, you should be overflowing with thankfulness, because we don't deserve it, right? He says, come to me as my children and just ask. Ask in the name of Jesus and I will do it. We have a reason to be thankful. Did Jesus set you free? Some of our stronghold people that were dealing with things in our small groups, you've been set free. You've been set free from the power of sin, and you've been set free from the power of death. You have a reason. I have a reason to overflow with thanksgiving. Has God ever provided you peace in the midst of a storm? You and I have a reason to overflow with thankfulness. Do you have hope because of Christ? Most of the world lives without hope. You can see beyond the problems, and you and I have a reason to overflow with thankfulness. Do you have a purpose? That was one of our signs. I love that. Now I have purpose. Do you wake up in the morning and go, I have a purpose. I serve the King of the universe, and he has something for me. If that's the case, we need to overflow with thankfulness. Do you have a story to tell of God's goodness? I have a story. You have a story of how good God is, to overflow with thanksgiving. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, you know. It seems to be stripped of everything. It's just food and Thanksgiving. I love that. I love that. But every day can be Thanksgiving when we have our roots deep into Jesus and our relationship is centered on him. And the thing I love about this whole experience is it doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end. Even though we're wrapping up Rooted, it's just a step in a direction. Here's a verse that I kind of want to paint the future for moving forward. Ephesians 4:1. And Paul is writing a prisoner of Christ. He says, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, to walk, to take steps, to keep moving, to keep going forward, because you've been called by Jesus to a new life and a new direction, and you're surrendered to him, and you're ready to go and say, God, what's next? I'm ready to just follow you, continue to work in my life, and that's kind of what we want to see moving forward. I love doing weddings. It's something I get to do as part of being a pastor. And I love this idea that the groom comes in first, and he stands up there, waits for the bride to come in. They do the whole ceremony. And I've told them before, they go, what do we need to do? They go, the only thing you need to say is I do. I mean, it takes 2 seconds. I'm going to say something to you, and you're going to repeat back, I do, and then we're done. Anything else you add is up to you. But when you say I do in front of witnesses, that's what we sign off for. And they come to the front and they say, I do. And then what do? They walk out together. They came in separately, but they walk out together. Last week we talked about how the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And we give ourselves to him and his community of followers, and that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We do this as community. So we're going to do something a little different in just a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to commission everybody because we don't want this to be the end of everything. We don't want it to be a beginning of new life here at the church and a new life in you, and just that we're going to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And this is what we're going to do. It's going to be like a wedding in almost a sense. I'm going to share some statements with you. And even if you're new to Bridges or new to what we're doing, just read the statement. If you agree with it, just say, "We do." That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you a statement, a question, and I'm going to ask you, "Do you?" And just repeat, "We do." If you're at home, I'm going to ask you to type this in. You're not with us. And so just type this in your keyboard in the chat area. And it's just two words, "We do," four letters, five keystrokes. But it's a heart given to Christ. And I want to commission us as a church ready to do whatever God has us to do. So I'm going to ask you to stand now. Everybody in the room, if you'll stand at home, wherever you may be, I'm going to ask you some questions. If you agree with it, I'll ask you, "Do you?" And you just say, "We do." Okay, you ready? All right, let's do this. Here's the first one. Do you commit to following Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you?
We do.
Do you commit to walking with the Spirit daily? Do you?
We do.
Do you commit to listening for God's voice and doing what he tells you to do? Do you?
We do.
Do you commit to being a servant and serving as God calls you to serve? Do you?
We do.
Do you commit to growing in generosity and recognizing that everything you have comes from God and you're only a manager? Do you?
We do.
And the last one, do you commit to sharing your story and God's goodness with gentleness and respect whenever the opportunity arrives? Do you?
We do.
I'm going to pray for us. And what we want to do is commission you as a church. You are ready now to go out and be his servant. Wherever God calls you, go. Whatever he calls you to do, do it. When someone comes to you with a problem, pray for them. Turn them over to the Lord and just meet a need. When someone comes to you with a stronghold, you know how to battle it now. You know your identity in Christ. Just walk them through like you've been through it. When it's time to be generous, be generous. When you are asked by God to go into a place to share your story, just say, "God, help me and share the story of God's goodness in your life." You are the church. We are the church. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So I want to pray for us now as we commission, and we're going to sing, and we're going to close out our service. Let's pray together. Father God, I just commission us now, as you've already commissioned us, to go into this world. You said, Jesus, you said, that as my Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I feel that way right now. Father, send us. Send us out into the world as your hands and your feet. Send us out as your church. Help us to live for you. And I pray for those that are still struggling with strongholds. I pray over them, and I pray for freedom. And then I commission them to go out and help everyone else who's ever dealt with that same problem. Father, we commission ourselves today just to be the hands and feet of Jesus, heart sold out for him, devoid of any idols, devoid of anything that would hold us back, freely given because you gave your son freely. We look forward to the stories we're going to tell, Father God. We're going to look forward to the lives that are changed. We thank you for Becca's life that she gave in baptism yesterday to Christ to serve him fully. And I pray for each one of us that our hearts are baptized in that way, ready to go, forgiven and free. Father, we commission ourselves today. I commission this group to go out into the world and see you change the world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for being here. Let's close out with a song.